I'd like to acknowledge and thank my two California colleagues who may be in the audience, Dr. Gail Bolin and Dr. Jeff Klausner, Gail at the state and Jeff at San Francisco. They have been true partners to me over the last 8 years that I've been the director of the STD program. And I want to thank them for the ideas for this talk and for all that I've learned from them through our collaborations over the many years. I'd like to begin with an overview of the disease burden in California, much like what was seen this morning in the talk by John Douglas. I was struck by how much what he said is what I'm going to try to say, and I'm sure I'm not going to be able to do it as well as he did. But from the state perspective, the issues we face are the same that are being faced in many other areas, and I want to acknowledge that. And to describe the current structure for STD control at the state and local levels, I'll describe the California STD Controllers Association and how this organization has been mobilized to address some of the challenge we face related to funding reductions, decreased capacity, and data systems incompatibilities. And finally, I'd like to provide a few concrete examples of where we have looked to identify solutions through integration, collaboration, partnerships, and advocacy efforts at the local and state levels. There are an estimated 2.5 million new cases of STDs annually in California, and 176,000 Californians affected by infertility. We have seen persistent increases in chlamydia. We've seen reemergence of syphilis among MSMs and disparate GC rates in minority populations with emerging resistance to treatment. Rates of chlamydia and syphilis have persistently increased in California over the past decade, with gonorrhea beginning to level off in 2000. But leveling off at an unacceptably high level. And as we see on the next slide, there has been a rapid and dramatic emergence of resistance in California to gonorrhea treatment with the quinolones. This slide shows data from California STD clinic GIF sites. Since 2000, the proportion of resistant GC cases here in the light blue has increased to almost 40%. The yellow is the percent with decreased sensitivity. This generally preceded what's been observed throughout the nation and which we observed crossing the Pacific to California. This slide shows the number of cases of chlamydia, gonorrhea, PNS, and early latent syphilis reported in the United States, California, and the Los Angeles and San Francisco project areas. The table also shows the relative proportion of the cases in the state and in the LA and San Francisco project areas. For example, in 2006, there were just over 1 million cases of chlamydia reported in the U.S. 135,000 of these cases were reported from California, representing approximately 13% of the U.S. total. You can see here that California reports between 10 and 20% of all U.S. cases for these STDs, and that cases from L.A. County represent about a third to a half of all the state's total morbidity, and from 3 to 8% of the U.S. total. And San Francisco has contributed significantly, 13%, to the state's total syphilis morbidity. Racial and ethnic disparities, as we have seen, persist for all STDs, as you can see clearly on this slide. In 2006, the rate of gonorrhea among African Americans was over 10 times the rate for whites. The responsibility for STD control is held in the state STD control branch in the California Department of Public Health. In addition, there are 61 local health jurisdictions, and CDC provides support for STD control activities in three project areas: in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and the California project area, which supports 58 of the other local health jurisdictions, which are shown on this map, in five separate regions: Northern California, the Bay Area, the Southern Region, and Los Angeles County. Each local health jurisdiction has a local health department that is required by law to provide communicable disease control services. These include the typical services we would expect: surveillance, case and outbreak investigation, partner services, community health education. And these local health jurisdictions serve the role as the provider of last resort for medical care. Some local health departments have dedicated STD clinical services, the larger of these. The remainder, patients must obtain STD clinical services from their general medical system, while where STD diagnostic and treatment expertise may not be as timely or comprehensive. Likewise, not all local health departments have local general funds or county funding dedicated to support STD control, and they must rely on state staff from the STD control branch for their disease control activities. I'd like to take a few minutes to describe for you the California STD Controllers Association. We are an association. Our members are STD directors who are responsible in each of the 61 health jurisdictions in California for STD control. As an association, we work to improve the infrastructure for STD, including surveillance, clinical services, education, prevention programs, and research in California. And we actually are an affiliate of the California Conference of Local Health Officers, which is an advisory body to the legislature on public health-related matters. Likewise, our sister organization, the California Conference of Local AIDS Directors, is one of our one of those affiliates and one of our partners. We are supported and work closely with the state STD control program. We convene annual meetings of general membership, and we have joint annual meetings of our executive committees and general memberships of the STD controllers and the California Conference of Local AIDS Directors. And this meeting and this partnership has become a very important for us in terms of our advocacy efforts. In addition, we form partnerships with local community-based organizations for legislative advocacy, and I'll provide an example of one. But first, the capacity issues. Since 1995, the California STD Control Branch has experienced a greater than 25% reduction in staff, from 99 staff and 21 federal assignees to 86 staff and 3 federal assignees. And it fits very well with the slide that Charlotte showed earlier. Their current budget is $10 million. And when you do the number, it's an investment of about 7 to 12 cents per Californian annually. And this budget has been reduced by about 15%. These reductions in California have severely compromised the ability of the state branch to investigate and control outbreaks, to provide the safety net, partner services, and treatment follow-up so necessary for STD control, as well as to support surveillance and the other things we like to do, like conduct provider and laboratory visits to ensure complete surveillance. This slide is a slide many of you have seen that shows the actual and inflation-adjusted funding for our for CDC's syphilis elimination activities. For 7 days in a row. And these are measured for actual lapses in their reaction time. You can see that funding peaked in 2003, and that although it has remained relatively stable over the next few years, funding actually declined when it's adjusted for inflation. The next slide shows the syphilis elimination funding per PNS syphilis case. Again, you see the peak in funding that occurred in 2003. and the even more dramatic drop in actual and inflation-adjusted funding per PNS case. It's not really surprising when you realize what is going on nationally and what's going on specifically in California. Here you see the slide for California, which reports the trend of PNS syphilis cases. Since the beginning of 2000, cases increased from about 200 cases of PNS syphilis to over 2,000 cases in 2007. So what did CDC do? They had to make some very difficult choices, and they developed a new syphilis elimination funding formula many of you are familiar with that resulted in redistributions of those syphilis elimination funds based on the previous two-year trends and the emerging needs in other areas. In California, that affected us both in a positive and in a negative way. It meant a change in funding in our different project areas. This slide shows the PNS MSM syphilis cases in the 61 local health departments grouped by region of the state. Note the scales are different, but note also the upward trends in PNS syphilis, especially in the southern regions and in Los Angeles County. So as a consequence, the state project area and the LA County project area benefited greatly, while reductions in funding in San Francisco and many other project areas in the country, the redistribution created real hardships at the program level and place at risk a setback in our syphilis elimination efforts. Our goal must be to sustain efforts and funding in areas where progress towards syphilis elimination is being made and to obtain new funds to address the emerging epidemics. In order to address the workforce capacity issue, CDC has initiated a pilot program, the Public Health Apprenticeship Program, which is a three-year training program designed to revive the Public Health Advisor series and intended to place college graduates in training positions in state or local health departments. It's been piloted in Florida, I understand, very successfully, and it's hoped that funding for the program will continue and allow opportunities for participation by other jurisdictions. And finally, while internet partner notification cannot replace traditional DIS work, it can augment traditional partner management and enable an individual recently diagnosed with an STD to anonymously or confidentially notify current or past sex partners that they have been exposed to an STD through emails, either anonymously or confidentially. We currently are undertaking an evaluation of this approach in our project area and hope to be able to report its effectiveness. I'd like to talk a little bit about the electronic data systems, the silos that you're all so familiar with, which have developed as we've developed our ability to record and we've moved away from the hand tallies. But we haven't yet come together where all the silos have come together. We have systems that have been developed at the state, federal, and even at the local level. And a lot has been learned from the OASIS project, which was funded by CDC STD division between 1998 and 2005. It was so successful, I'm pleased to report that without funding, it continues, and there actually was a pre-meeting before this meeting. But some of what they did with this project was designed to promote integrated interpretation and use of the surveillance data through an approach that started with matching, linking, and integrating the databases to improve efficiencies and enhance delivery of services or identify intervention targets. And as we're all aware of the emerging importance of our ability to monitor and track our performance and to be accountable for the funds we receive for STD control activities, we have to remind ourselves that whatever data systems we ultimately end up from the local perspective if they are, if we're able to extract those measures from our data systems, we will be far better off, and we should intentionally try to do this, achieve this goal. The state of California has recently announced its intention to contract with the Atlas Corporation to develop a web-based confidential morbidity system for providers and electronic laboratory reporting system. Currently, there are 7 California counties listed here that are using the system, that have bought earlier versions of it, that also include case management. In addition, the state of Wisconsin in October of 2006 decided to use this same system. There are quarterly meetings of all users where enhancements that have been made to the system anywhere can be adapted to another area. And we recently have started working with the state of Wisconsin and look forward to their work and to learning from their work as they are convert that STD-MIS to this system. I'd now like to give several evidence-based advocacy efforts, examples, that one locally in San Francisco, or in Los Angeles. Okay. So basically, you can see on this slide where we fit, and you see that it looked like there was a great deal of progress between 2003 and 2004. It's the blue slide. Whoops, I don't know how. It's the blue triangles, which are here. But between 2004 and 2005, we experienced a greater than 40% increase in our PNS syphilis rates. So basically, what we did was we presented these findings to our public health director and asked what he wanted us to do about it. So it was decided that we would take this to the policymakers, to the funders at our local level, which for us is a county board of supervisors. There are 5 members of that board, and they have an enormous amount of about $11 billion budget. So in June of 2006, the Department of Public Health released our report, which showed this big increase in syphilis, representing a 41% increase over that time period. And we were instructed to develop and implement strategies to prevent, identify, and treat those who were infected as soon as possible. So as a result of this action, our Director of Public Health was instructed to report to the board in 30 days on the development of a comprehensive strategy and a media campaign, and to provide our board with a budget and a timeline. This is something we were very happy to be asked to do. What followed from that, in June of 2006, our county board approved $1.6 million to develop this comprehensive STD control plan. And the key elements of it were to add DIS staff to the STD program, and also to add 2 equally trained to the same standard DIS that would be embedded in our community-based organizations. And these were the community-based organizations with the highest level of PNS syphilis. In addition, we added staff to expand our screening and correctional facilities, specifically targeting women that have been incarcerated. It added a behavioral scientist to our group to develop internet interventions. And it funded 2 social marketing campaigns, one targeting MSMs and one targeting Latinas and young Latinas and African-American women. This is the campaign targeted toward the MSMs, which we call Check Yourself. It was developed through intensive focus group and community advisory board participation and input. The methodology for the development of this campaign is a poster P156, which I believe will be up tomorrow. We circulated the campaign through all the usual media streams. We developed a website, reallycheckyourself.org, and we completed a baseline evaluation prior to the launch. The media campaign targeting minority women, younger minority women, was developed similarly through focus groups and community advisory board input, and there are 2 posters, one just describing both of those, both the formative work done for both of these campaigns, poster P54 and poster P117. Again, the media screens were targeted to the areas that we knew where the populations were and where the highest rates of disease were there. And this website is called don'tthinkno.org. And likewise, an evaluation was made ahead of time. These are some of the creatives that were used, and all were both in Spanish and English. And by the way, these are available to any other area that wants to take them and adapt them and use them in your area. So I'd like to describe also another of our efforts, and this is at the statewide effort at the state. And we were able to, and it relates directly to the economic work. In October of 2007, the Public Health Institute, which was affiliated with the UC Berkeley in the Bay Area, released a report. And this report used the same methodology that's been used nationally by Hillard Weinstock and others at CDC and applied it to California to estimate the cost to treat the eight most common STDs. But I think the really nice thing about it, it was done by each of our counties. So we're able to break it out and really say, this is the morbidity in your county, this is what it's costing you. And get them to ask the question, well, if we invest just a little bit, we're likely to save a whole lot. It estimated that there was 1.1 million new cases of STDs in 2005 among this younger age group of 15 and 24-year-olds, with direct medical costs estimated at $1.1 billion. Okay. So the STD Controllers Association, we took this cost data from the Public Health Institute report. We used our surveillance data to frame our need for a policy change and for increased resources. And we described what is the current state investment and really asked the question, is this enough? We organized with our partners a statewide legislative informational hearing on the structure of the STD control in California, and this was in front of the State Assembly Health Committee. This informational hearing was held last month on February 19th. And for it, we mobilized our partners across all of the different sectors, local health departments, California Conference of Local Health Officers, our reproductive health organization partners, our HIV providers and partners, managed care organizations, the research institutes, and the community advocates to bring people together to really examine the problem and to problem solve how we can do more. Our goal, of course, was to call attention to the need to reinvigorate STD prevention and infertility prevention programs in California, but it was also really to ultimately draft legislation, and this really is the work of Jeff Klausner, who drafted the STD Infertility and Prevention Control Act, or SCIPA, of 2008. Now, this is what we really would like to see in SCIPA, and all of the things that we know are important to STD control. I think this is the reality. California is facing its largest budget gap at about $16 billion. So it's clear there will be no new money this year. In fact, the chair of the Assembly Health Committee told us that. But our goal is not to give up, but to sustain these efforts and when times change, perhaps see things change as well. We're not a single-issue organization. There are other areas that we're working in that will increase our ability to do STD control, including relief from the California phlebotomy regulations, update the family code to allow consent for minors for reproductive health prevention services, protection of workers in the adult film industry, but really to review health-related legislation to identify opportunities where we may be able to insert even small things that could potentially have a great large impact down the road. So the next step, I mean, and I'll end on this, that really to build support for STD control. We have to use the evidence to educate and advocate. We have to build the partnerships both internally and externally. We have to build credible models that demonstrate cost savings. We have to build the coalitions for legislative advocacy. And I'd urge you all to join. It's NCSD, NASDAQ, NACHO, whatever organization you belong to, and mobilize that group to weigh in at every opportunity and figure out who's doing what where so that you will have a voice. Be ready when times are right and never give up. And I'd like to thank all the people that helped me with this talk. Thank you.